In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Well, good morning. I trust that you got a good night's rest and you're ready to go today. Thank you for joining Jack Gardner and myself. I'm Pastor Ken with Brookside Baptist Church, and you're listening to the Word for Life broadcast, which is brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. And right now at Brookside on Sunday mornings, we're in a study on 1 Corinthians, which our theme has been the gospel changes everything. On Sunday evenings, we are in the book of Psalms. In fact, the theme for that is praising through the Psalms. Folks started saying, did you say racing through the Psalms? I said, no, we're praising through the Psalms. And so we're not taking all 150, but we'll take a good number of the Psalms. And so I trust that if you're not in a church home right now, that you would come and see us. We'd love for you to be with us. Here for the Word for Life, our study has been in Joshua. We're on chapter 3, and we just ended with Joshua saying to the people, sanctify yourselves in verse 5 of chapter 3, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. That whole aspect, we spent time on sanctification. It's this aspect of holiness and how we live. It wasn't just for the priest. The people were to cleanse themselves from anything that would contaminate their relationship with a perfect and holy God. I mean, you see the same direction in Exodus 19, the same type of command from God as the people were encamped at Mount Sinai just before Moses ascended up to the mountain. And then where God was going to descend upon the mountain, clean up, you be ready. I mean, God wanted his people to be in contrast to the other nations who were living in just total wickedness. And friends, God is commanding us also to be holy. Even though we live in an anti-God culture, we're to be marked out and to be different. I mean, you look at the headlines that are faced today, wars and rumors of war, global terrorism, the chaos of the unthinkable, another pandemic, another illness coming in that's going to affect the whole world. Close yourself in. Wicked activities reported on nightly. The shootings. I mean, Jack, it is anarchy at its fullest right now. I mean, I look at it today and I think, man, it's just like Judges. I mean, every man is doing that which is right in his own eyes. I mean, you have the defilement of pornography. I mean, Satan cannot create anything. God is the creator. God created music. Satan has perverted it. God has created sex. Satan has perverted it. God created salvation. That was his redemptive plan. Again, the genius of God to make it so simple a child can understand. And Satan has perverted the gospel to make it so complicated that people, you know, got to think, I got to do this, I got to do that, got to get baptized, got to go to this church, you know, so forth and so on.
And like you said, where God put a period, Satan puts a question mark.
All the time. I mean, even the confusion today of the gender roles. I mean, who would ever thought there's a question between, am I a man or am I a woman?
I heard something to the effect of they've tried to now define 27 different
genders.
It's just...
Yeah, there's two.
Yeah,
two. God made Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
I mean, the fear of the economy. And then what's heartbreaking is the lostness of our children. If anyone is usually sensitive to God and the Bible, it's children. Unless they come from a home that's saying, hey, that's not true. I mean, people are still wondering, well, what is it about life? Why am I here? It's just heartbreaking. People are, you know, could be buckled and strapped in all right, but yet they're holding on to the world, so to speak, that is careening out of control into a future greater fear. And I tell you, Jack, that's what I see today. People living in fear. If you can find a restaurant that has enough workers to feed you, and you walk in, you're usually going to sit in a place that you can watch the door. You've heard enough of these mass shootings, and we never thought it would happen in this quiet community. There is just confusion. There is fear. There's uncertainty. There's frustration today. Prices of housing and gas and food. And can I just say, as a Christian, a true believer, you should be living in contrast to this anti-God culture.
Well, as the Bible says, the the beginning of fear is wisdom. I think
the beginning.
Yeah. And that being said, we're to fear God yet. He says, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind.
Yeah.
So there's healthy fear. There's unhealthy fear.
That's a great point. And unfortunately, we live in a lot of unhealthy fear. And dear Christian, Frank, can I tell you, our anchor is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, he's immovable. He's steadfast. He's strong. Keep on persevering. Keep on keeping on. Your eyes are fixed on God's word. That's going to be a key in your life. So the question would be, as you're either getting up this morning or you're driving to work, I mean, when am I getting into the word of God and meditating on his word? It is a light that stands out in this dark anti-God culture today. You move toward that light and sanctify your life and say, God, I want to be used of you. Step out in faith and be used of God.
That's not always easy to get into the word of God every morning. Is a challenge for probably most of us. And yet there's the discipline from the word disciple, right?
Yes, absolutely. He hadn't given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound disciplined mind. Mm. And it does. It takes discipline. And the message you proclaim and the life you live guarantees you'll stand out in this culture. You know, my youngest son is protector of our country. He's a special forces op, and his wife just told me when he was deployed that the team member's wife told her, I don't know what it is about your husband. My husband just always is commenting, he doesn't cuss, he doesn't use profanity, and he doesn't drink alcohol. It's amazing that in this anti-God culture, they notice a difference, and they notice it so quickly.
Well, there he is being a light on the hill.
Yeah, that city set up on a hill. Light, salt, absolutely.
I have one question. Did he learn everything that he knew from you as far as a special forces person?
No. I'm a wimp, man. If he got anything from me, it would be a nature to want to quit, and God has wrestled that away from him. And through the hardships, he hasn't quit, which, I mean, his stories and all he's gone through is just unbelievable. And I wrote him and I said, hey, proud of you that you're living countercultural to this world. And he said, man, Dad, you wouldn't believe how hard it is. I mean, they use Jesus' name all the time, you know, for their displeasure. But then they look at me and go, but I think I'm going to heaven. He said, it's heartbreaking. And I wonder... I wonder how your temper and your tongue is at work, or how your temper and your tongue is at the house. I mean, if your kids are going to see how to walk with God, or your grandchildren are going to see it, they can't see someone who's just totally angry all the time, just flying off at the handle, at the drop of a hat. Because the right relationship to God that's brought about through the work of his spirit, and again, that I'm living in light of his presence— we need that. The children of Israel needed that. And they're going to need it in crossing the Jordan River. But they have to keep stepping forward out on faith. Personally for Joshua. I mean, Joshua had consistently stepped out in his trust of God and his word, but God is still reminding him of how he's going to present him before the people. So, Jack, read for us, beginning there in verse 7, if you would, for us.
Sure. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Jebusites. I almost had it.
You did, except for the last one. You did a great job with reading those names. I mean, and they're to drive them out. And I don't know what it is that you might need to drive out of your life. But with God's help, he's gonna be right there as he was with the children of Israel. You know, Joshua is hearing here personally from God what he'd heard back in chapter 1. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you as I said to Moses. Jack, as you were reading verses 7 and 8, I couldn't help but think, you know, he's speaking to Joshua here for the first time, really, since chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. And the words here are really a fulfillment of those words spoken in Joshua 1, especially God being with Joshua as he had been with Moses and wanting to confirm his place as the leader of Israel for all the children of Israel to see. I mean, this had to have been, again, great encouragement. And, you know, God knows we need to know that he's with us and that he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. What is very interesting in this context, in this narrative for me, Jack, is it's interesting to note that Joshua was not the one directly involved in the miracle of the parting of the Jordan River, because Moses was a focal point with the parting of the Red Sea. You know, you raise your staff and, man, God, you know, everybody's seen the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston, you know, representing Moses, and the waters part. Not so here. Joshua is not the focal point. It was God's initiative. It was God's work. And Joshua, along with the nation of Israel, would be able to see firsthand. And Joshua gives the command for the priests now to enter the water. And that water is raging until the priests' feet hit the water. I mean,
wow.
Right down to it.
Mm-hmm.
God is always on time. He's never late. I remember before I came to Brookside, a young man was talking to me. And I think we might have been that time at Brookside in the study of Joshua. And he wanted to know if I was going to come and be part of the pastoral team here at Brookside. And I said, well, I'm really praying about that. And he goes, what are you afraid about? Put your feet in the water. I'll never forget it. I said, thank you.
Is that a sword sharpening a sword?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Iron sharpening iron. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And here are the instructions for the priest. You read it there in verse 8. They were to set down the soles of their feet in an impossible situation, claiming the ground of faith. Then, and only then, would they actually see the intervention and the power of the Most High God holding back those floodwaters so they could cross over the dry ground. Joshua's message for the people. I love this, Jack. Man, can we get this today? Know that the living God is among you, and he will do this. I mean, the mention of God as a living God was most likely intended to contrast Israel's God with the dead false gods of the seven groups that you wonderfully named there in your reading.
Hmm.
We're going to look at these seven groups a little bit later, because they're going to be mentioned five times in the book of Joshua. But Israel is going to see living proof that God is in their midst. And Joshua uses the word behold, which is really an attention-getting word. It's look. God is going to be your guide, and let's do exactly what he said. Let's follow him, and let's follow the ark. I mean, it was a wholehearted response to Joshua's fearless faith in God. Not only the priests bearing the ark, but also of Israel as they broke camp as one man. Oh, may we see the power of the living God, that he will do something in our midst today, that we know this is truly God. It might be that you're able to give a word of testimony or a witness. It might be that you've seen God give you confidence in the midst of an incredible trial to depend upon him. But may we never forget that the living God is amongst each one of us. I trust you have a wonderful day and live with this truth in mind.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.